This is CliffCentral.com.
We'll look at the rest of this list in a minute. I think we got Paul back. Paul, we tried to sort out the Skype line, and it was fine just now, and then it suddenly just deteriorated. So let's just get you on the phone.
If you can do it on the phone, that's fine, Gareth. It's not going to always come in, into the office.
It's fine now. It's 100% now. We can hear you clearly.
Okay, so we're going to sort of start again.
Yeah, you were saying that that the domestic value you can get for investing your money is limited in so many ways, and people don't have to be imprisoned by that. There are other ways to make your money grow and to keep it somewhere safe.
Well, that's right, Gareth. I think it's clear that South Africans are not really looking at the picture and considering their global purchasing power or place as global citizens, which we are now becoming. And it's the fact that your typical South African has only 6% of his wealth outside of the country, compared to to Western peers who have between 35 to 45% of their wealth in non-domestic assets.
Hmm. You see, everybody always thinks it's a very binary thing, that if you're invested in the local market, that means you can't be invested in some large proportion in other markets. And even people in Western countries where you would think your money would be safe in banks or in the local stock market or whatever it is, even they spend 35 to 40% of their money, or don't spend it, but invest it overseas. Is that what you're saying?
Yep, absolutely. And I think I was looking at some statistics the other day, and it's a fact that the rand dollar has devalued by a devastating 80% since June 2011 to 2015. So I think that just that just sort of reinforces the need to at least get more than typically the 6% offshore that your average high net worth South African, has currently.
Right. So we've got to find a way around this, and we've got to make sense of it. This is a complicated field in terms of legislation. You have to first figure out what jurisdiction you fall into, and to the ordinary person who knows nothing about this stuff, let's break it right down. First of all, it's about the law. You need to comply with the law to send money anywhere, to be able to do anything with money, whether it's locally or internationally. You need to know what the law is. That's something that you guys specialize in, right?
That's correct, Gareth. I mean, I've experienced more change in international and South African tax legislation over the past 2 years than I've seen in the industry over the past 25 years. So there has been a significant change in legislation, both in South Africa and abroad. We've had various different sets of legislation that have been apparent over the last, 12 months in particular. And we've had things like the automatic exchange of information. We've had something called the CRS, or the Common Reporting Standards, where you have over 90 countries globally sharing information between tax authorities and regulators.
Hmm.
There's really a sort of global transparency in taxation on offshore structures, offshore companies, and assets held globally. So I think, there's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, and I think one has to now make sure their assets globally are compliant, disclosed, etc. Because by the end of 2017, all of these information sharing agreements will become legislated.
So let's imagine that you're one of those people who started thinking about investing offshore 20 years ago, and you started investing money, and you put it in some bank account overseas, and it never really was much of an issue. Nobody knew it was there. You could put more in or take some out, depending. It was never really something that fell into the general scope of what South African tax authorities looked at. That is not possible anymore. You now need to have all of these things declared and brought into the legal framework.
Absolutely. And if you look back, using that as an example, Gareth, if you look back at 2003, you had a big amnesty in South Africa. In the latest budget, they announced a further amnesty in October this year. But if you look back at the 2003 amnesty, there were some 70,000 structures offshore that went through that amnesty process. And that brought to light the order of 80 billion rands worth of foreign assets to the attention of the South African Reserve Bank. Now, a lot of structures were written under what's called discretionary trust deeds. And, of course, now these trusts have been challenged not only in South Africa, but also globally. So a lot of structures that were set up years ago clearly are going to be seen as anti-avoidance schemes. There are alternative structures that one can look at that won't be seen in the same light. But yes, absolutely, if one has assets offshore, you know, you have a limited, very limited period of time in which to regularize those assets and come clean.
Well, can we quickly talk about the 2016 amnesty and what this means for people, people who already have money overseas and people who want to invest their money offshore? What does this mean for them, the 2016 amnesty?
The 2016 amnesty with the South African Reserve Revenue Services, they're now subscribing to a new global standard for information exchange between the tax authorities. But what's been announced is that there's a new amnesty open for, I believe, a six-month period. Okay, so it's a six-month amnesty, and it commences 1st of October 2016 to the 31st of March 2017. So any capital that was used to purchase offshore assets before the 1st of March 2015 will be taxed on half the amount.
Wow.
Okay, if the applicant failed to comply with the SARS tax rules. So any investment returns offshore on assets received or accrued from the 1st of March 2010 can be included. And under the current voluntary disclosure program, you can also regularize one's assets. So it's a six-month window of opportunity. And I think the way that SARS will see this is that if you don't come clean, they give you a number of different opportunities, be it with the 2003 amnesty, voluntary disclosure program, and now you've got another amnesty. So really, this is your final chance, if you like, to regularize one's assets.
And if you don't, they'll take half of that money.
Correct. That's as we understand it. There will be a 50% tax charge on what otherwise would have been taxed entirely.
That's incredible. So this is really an opportunity and people need to get their stuff together. So again, this is for people who already have money offshore. For those people who want to put money offshore, what kinds of structures and advice do you, and we're going to be running out over the next couple of months, we'll be doing a weekly update and we'll be giving people weekly tips on how to invest your money offshore. But can you give us a brief overview of the sorts of structures, the kinds of tax advantages that there might be for people who want to invest offshore?
Gareth, I think that's a very good question. I think there's a number of different structures. In particular, one that we recommend to a number of people here is in the international retirement planning space. Establishing a foreign pension in areas like the Channel Islands is becoming increasingly more attractive to South African tax residents. And I think an ideal alternative to your typical discretionary trust, which will be seen as an anti-avoidance scheme, it's a very, very specialized area of expertise. You know, setting up foreign pension funds can be seen as, a robust way of one planning for retirement. So one can literally contribute assets, either from South Africa using their exchange control allowance, or they can contribute existing assets that are held offshore in their name or in discretionary trust into a foreign pension fund.
And if you do this,
this is what a lot of governments and tax authorities around the world are trying to encourage, and that's for people to save for their retirement.
Right.
So contributing assets, foreign pension funds, typically in a jurisdiction like the Channel Islands, is an ideal alternative for South African tax residents.
And if you did this now during this amnesty period, you would save yourself a lot of money.
Well, I think the retirement space, if you like, is a solution once one has realized the asset. So come clean, go for the amnesty, do your budget disclosure program, and then roll over the assets into a foreign pension fund.
Terrific. This is all very good advice. We'll get into more of the details over the next few weeks. But what can we do if we want to find out more? And where can we go to find out more in the meantime?
Well, I think, guys, we're doing a number of roadshows both in Cape Town and Johannesburg. So one always contact us. We find that, generally speaking, the South African public are very, uneducated with regards to new legislation in terms of how it could possibly affect them. So we are doing a number of sort of educational roadshows regionally. One can contact us through our website, and we'll be more than happy to extend an invitation.
Fantastic. For more, you can go to stjamesglobal.com. Thank you very much for talking to us, Paul. We'll chat to you again next week, and we'll find out more about the detail around this. And,
perfect.
And I promise you we won't have a problem with the Skype line next time. But thank all you right, very much. Aaron. It sounded perfect on the phone, and I think everybody got what they needed here. St. James Global. When it comes to foreign investment, it can be as confusing as to what and what is not allowed, and people can get very confused. You could be one of those people. You might not know what to do with that money. In fact, being a beneficiary of an offshore trust was highlighted in the 2016 budget by Pravin Gordhan just the other day. What happens to your overseas money when you die? There's been significant change with regard to overseas funds, how SARS treats you if you're a South African taxpayer. Well, St. James Global has the answers for you. They've been doing this for years. Focus on preserving and protecting offshore wealth and creating succession planning structures that tick all the boxes. And given all these changes in international tax legislation, you really need to know what's going on. Make sure your worldwide assets pass on to future heirs immediately without costs or delays. And to make sure that you know what's happening, go to stjamesglobal.com for more information. That's stjamesglobal.com. One word, right? stjamesglobal.com, and you can find out more. St. James Global is an authorized financial services provider, and to find out more, you can join us next week for more in Offshore Money.
This is cliffcentral.com.